How many of you believe we're living in troubled times? This old world will soon decay or get blown away. But on Jesus I depend. He's our only hope today. I say, Lord, how glad I am. You broke the chains that bound me. Sweet peace and joy I've found. I say, Lord, how glad I am. In mercy you have found me, and now I'm heaven bound. Leaders wondering what to do. Right now the President of the United States is addressing the nation. There's confusion. Every day, protest. But our God will see us through if we'll just take time to pray. I say, Lord, how glad I am. You broke the chains that bound me. Sweet peace and joy I've found. I say, Lord, how glad I am. In mercy you have found me, and now I'm heaven bound. I say, Lord, how glad I am. Thank you, Jesus. You broke the chains that had me bound. Gave me the Holy Ghost. Joy I found. I say, Lord, how glad I am. In mercy you found me, now I'm heaven bound. Amen. I'm singing that song about me, but it's not just about me. Anybody can sing that song that wants to. Amen. Because there's mercy in God. There's love to forgive. But I'm not talking about some patty cake play religion here. I'm talking about a real God. Really set you free. Give you confidence. Give you hope. Make you to know that you can live a better life. Don't have to pretend like many do. I'm very turned off to religion, as it is in most places. I'm not saying I'm right, everybody else is wrong. I'm just saying everybody that is right, it's just a small number. Because you look around, people are lying to each other and wanting to be lied to. Being deceitful and deceiving and interpreting scriptures to mean something that are not according to the whole Word of God. Amen. There's discord in theology. Amen. There's division. And a lot of things that claim to be in harmony and united. But God is on the throne. He has a real church. A real people. And we're few in number here tonight. But we have a large audience. Amen. So it's snow night locally here when several can't make it to the local church building does not mean that we don't have something to say to a lot of people who have searching hearts. There are people thousands of miles away from here right now listening to us as we have church. And some of them have big needs in their lives. They don't know what to do. They don't know which way to turn. And they're not the only ones. I'm sure there's some of us here that really need to hear the word of the Lord tonight. And so let's consider the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to open the Bible, if you'd like to stand for a moment, to the book of Colossians. The first chapter, the writing of Paul, the apostle, to the church, Colossae. And again, I like to always bring out the fact that this was not a Trinity church. This was not a Protestant church. This was not a Catholic church. This was an apostolic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-named church that he wrote to. These people preached baptism in Jesus' name. These people in this church that Paul was writing to were people of the true faith. The true faith. And unless we are a part of that church, the church that started in the book of Acts, the church that was instructed how to have church from the apostles, unless we are truly being led of the Spirit of God and following the teachings of the Lord and those that follow the Lord, then we are in error and we are not in God's sight Christians at all. And anybody that claims to be a Christian who's not doing that is a liar. And I say that with love, and I say that with concern, because God loves every one of them. God wants every one of them to be saved. So that's why we're here. I found out you can get saved. I found out that a liar can get saved because he saved me. I found out that a fake can get real. And I found out that there is something that is real that's available to us that we don't have to settle for anything less. So Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, his brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Everybody say spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now we're talking about Jesus now, who is the image of the invisible God. By the way, those of you that heard me reading in the first part of this scripture tonight, there was some reference to Jesus, and there was reference to the Father. This church declares, just as Jesus declared and the apostles declared, that God is a spirit, and that spirit is the Father that we're referring to here. Father God is not a person. Father God is not a man. Father God is spirit, and Jesus taught that to the woman at the well. It's in the scripture that God is a what? God is a spirit, and that spirit is the Holy Spirit that overshadowed the virgin. And she brought forth the Son of the Holy Ghost, which is God, the Son of God. Amen. And this Son of God is the image. Everybody say the image. The image of the invisible God. God is invisible. You may be seated. The firstborn of every creature. Again, we're talking about Jesus, the firstborn of every creature. We're still talking about Jesus, for by Him were all things created. We're still talking about Jesus. By Him were all things created that are in heaven. Still talking about Jesus. Amen. You see, because when we're talking about Jesus being the image of the invisible, we're talking about Jesus being that which you can see of that made everything. Amen. It's okay to call Jesus God. It's okay to call Jesus God. Because He is the visible manifestation of the invisible presence that is God. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things. I'm still talking about Jesus. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Everybody say, we're still talking about Jesus. Amen. He is the head of the body, the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Who was the one that died and rose again? We're still talking about Jesus. That in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him, we're still talking about Jesus. It pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, should all the fullness dwell. Not a third of it, not any fraction of it, but all the fullness. And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him, to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Isn't it great to know that He can take wicked people and change them? Isn't it great? Isn't it good to know that He can take that which was not pleasing in His sight and do a miracle and be able to smile at that and say, hey, you're all right now. Amen. You're clean now. You don't have a bad history anymore because I'm able to make you new. No matter what anybody else thinks, God looks upon the heart and looks upon the creation ability of God to change it all and make it all better. Amen. He wants to present you because of what He was able to do at Calvary through the crucifixion of His flesh. Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And there's a big if in verse 23. Everybody say if. That small two-letter word is one of the biggest words in the vocabulary, in the dictionary, because it really can turn things around. It really can add a lot of depth to what is being said. I mean, in everything we've been reading about how great it is to know we have a wonderful God, a merciful God, a loving God who's the head of all things, over all things, in all things, and through Jesus is able to do anything, and even we are able to look to Jesus, the Son of God, and call Him God because He is the visible of the invisible Creator of all things. And God has placed in Him all the fullness so that we can look upon this Savior that we call Jesus in any way that we can see Him, whether we see Him as the result of what He has done, or if we could have lived in the days of the disciples and walked with Him, we could have looked at Him and said, my Lord and my God. Not taking anything away from that which is invisible, that fills all in all, to look at Jesus and say, my God, because it was God's plan that in Him should all the fullness dwell. It was God's plan to place His presence in Jehovah Savior and reconcile the world unto Himself. Amen. And so we come to this word, if. If. All these wonderful things that can happen to change you from a bad individual to something pleasing in the sight of God can happen because God is good. God is great. And God presented us a Savior to do it. And this will all happen for us if. Everybody again say if. That's my subject tonight, if. Probably the shortest subject I've ever preached on. May even be the shortest message I've preached on in a while. Don't dream too big. But I like they kept saying tonight, we've got plenty of time. Everybody's snowed in anyhow. Who knows? We may have 10 feet of snow and can't even get out tonight. We don't know what it's been doing since. In fact, we may just be in this basement and everything else been blown away by an atom bomb. We don't even know it yet. Wouldn't that be something? To walk out of here tonight and be hit in the face with some kind of nuclear fallout and not even realize that our loved ones are already gone somewhere and the world has been torn apart. You know what? What I'm saying sounds like something you might see on a movie. Sounds like something that you might hear about as somebody reads some fiction story or some comedy of some world disaster. But we're living right now. You can listen to the news, read the papers every day. We're living in the time when very possibly this whole world could suddenly be changed into something that's very chaotic. And if you're not keeping up with the news, you may have things slipping up on you don't know about. Little Iraq over there, sure they're a pushover. But we may be challenged to pick on somebody our own size a little bit later. Maybe us against the whole world. Who knows what the whole world may have. I don't know. I'm not up here to scare anybody, and I'm not scared. I'm just saying it pays to be a Christian. A real Christian. And you know what? You can have hope in this troubled world. You can have hope beyond this life, no matter what your living conditions may be. You can have hope beyond the grave. You can rest in peace when you go to sleep at night, knowing that everything is going to be all right no matter what happens in the world. If you get your life in order with a true God in the right way. And if you don't, I don't mind saying it because the Bible backs it up. You will not be able to enjoy the blessings of God. And you have nothing to look forward to except chaos, disorder, confusion, hopelessness, miserable living in this life. And at some point, you're going to wish you had changed to a better way of looking at things. And then beyond this life, according to the Word of God, you'll find a place where you will rise again, but not necessarily to a good life. There is a resurrection according to the teachings in the Bible. That if you don't obey God, you will not be happy in eternity, and you will live somewhere forever. If we don't obey God according to His teachings, according to His truth, according to His words, if we don't do what God says do, we will spend eternity in a place that was not prepared for us, because God did not want His creature called man to go to hell. That was prepared for Lucifer after he had been changed as a result of his own wickedness in his heart. Changed to a devil that torments the human race and all his little idiot imbeciles that work with him trying to be as big as big devil himself. Because, you know, things have a tendency to repeat. I mean, here's the devil wanting to be God. And he's convinced all these lying spirits that he is. Because they're all these demons that are around, and I don't get scared if I talk about demons. They're not anything to be afraid of if you're truly in the real church with the real God. I mean, he deals with these things every day, and there are really, really good angels with God, watching over us with God, who have power over all these idiots. And if we're able to just live for God, you don't have to go around scared of demons. Just live for God in the right way. But if we don't find the right way, we will find the wrong way. And as Johnny James preaches, amen, almost right is always wrong. Almost saved is always lost. So there is no almost. You can't almost make it to heaven and go to heaven. Amen. If you continue. Now, in order to continue in the faith, first you've got to get the faith. But if you get this faith that this church at Colossae had, the faith that was once delivered to the saints, it's that faith that says, I do believe there's a God. And I believe Him so strong that I'm willing to look into His Word and do what He tells me to do. And if He tells me to stand on my head and paint my face green, I'll do it. He's not going to tell you that, but if He did, would you do it? I promise you, if God said the plan of salvation is to accept Christ as your personal Savior and confess with your lips and believe in your heart and you shall be saved and that's all you have to do, there would be a whole lot more people going to be saved than what's going to be saved. But you know, he wrote that plan of recovery to the church, to the apostles, to the Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled sanctified church. If you goof up, here's how you get yourself straightened out. Believe in your heart, confess with your lips, and acknowledge that He was born again. I mean, remember, Jesus lived, Jesus died, and come back to that again, and He rose from the dead, and you get that thing straightened out in your mind and in your heart, and come back to where you're supposed to be. If you fall away, that's your plan of hope, because God has provided Jesus Christ as a propitiation for our sin, as a lawyer, as a mediator, as a reconciler, as one that can bring us back and make things okay again with God if we fall back into sin. But the plan of salvation for somebody that's not saved and has never repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost is this. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And God made a promise. He said, for this promise, He said it through Peter, this promise is to you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now that's the Word of God. Now I was listening to a minister this week that I have admired greatly through the years, who once stood for this, who was once a part of this, who once declared this in all the services that I would listen to. And I have many tapes even right now stacked in my closet in cases back there. There are tapes that date back several years of this man preaching this wonderful, glorious truth in the Word of God. And it was so good to hear it. He was such an orator and so filled with ability. And that also with the call of God and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he was anointed of the Holy Ghost to deliver the Word of God in truth for years. And a lot of times I'd just weep and listen to the preaching of the Word as he'd give these wonderful, marvelous illustrations of people like David and the life of David and some of the Old Testament characters, he could just talk about it and just make you see it happening as he would preach to you. And I've been listening to him again now that several years have gone by, and he chose to walk away from this faith, this truth, this reality. Chose to walk away and keep preaching. And there was a difference, a big difference. The IF difference. If you continue in this, you keep that mind of Christ that's able to interpret the Word of God. If you continue in this, you're able to see the things of God clearly. If you continue in the anointing that God has given to His servant, to His people, the truth of God without compromise is able to go forth and do a wonderful work and restore lives and bring hope to people who are walking in darkness and cause the light to shine. But if you don't, you can become a great catastrophe. You can become a stumbling block. You can become something that was once so mighty, so great, so wonderful. And you can be cast down. And God will let it happen. And there will be those with itching ears who will pay you large offerings to come and tell them what they want to hear. And they love to rejoice about the fact that you once were an apostolic. There was a time when you preached Acts 2:38 or hell. There was a time when you were a one God, Holy Ghost filled apostolic, and you finally saw the light and you left that, and now you're able to preach what everybody preaches. Yeah? Well, I'll tell you something. I listened to this and I heard some wonderful things that I've heard before. I've got a beautiful message back there that's entitled, From the Oil to the Gold. It was preached under the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now, I heard that message title mentioned in a message that I heard this week in passing, and it still sounded good. And the illustrations were still great. And the man still looked almost the same, just a little older. And I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm just saying, if you go away from what God has given you, those things have a way of manifesting that you're not with God anymore. See, you can't go charismatic from this. You can only backslide. There might be a lot of good charismatic people, friends of ours, and people we love that are coming forward from where they've been. I tell you what, if I were in a cold, dead, formal church where I had to tell all my sins to some sinful priest who can't keep his hands off of kids or whatever, if I was in some kind of a terrible mess and had to go to mess every week like that, a mass or whatever they call it, if I was in a cold religion that doesn't have any kind of regard to some of the things, the Bible says, call no man father, referring not to your own natural father, but don't look to anybody as father. And yet, all around us, the largest group of people claiming to be the church around the world who's big enough to send somebody to try to talk the president out of having a war and able to try to influence and has those doors and has that mighty power. Yet, they just defy all over this world, defy the Word of God. Father so-and-so. Father so-and-so. Oh, that's Father so-and-so. And I'm not here to criticize. Some of you were once a part of that. In fact, a big part of our congregation, which is small tonight, but a big part of us when we're not all snowed out, can testify. I once was that way and didn't know any better. And I would have stayed that way if somebody, everybody say if, yes. If somebody hadn't been continuing for the faith, continuing in the truth, continuing in that which is real. I would have been lost. I would have been not knowing which way to go because I didn't have anything. I've heard them testify over and over. I didn't have anything that would change my life. I didn't have anything that would set me free. I didn't have anything that would make me have hope beyond the grave other than ritualism and formal dead cold religion. Then somebody came along. If it had not been for that person on the job who invited me to church, if it had not been for that person that came and talked to me about my soul, if it had not been for that individual that cared enough about me to stand against me face to face in my theology and tell me I was wrong, if it had not been, I would be lost today. That's a big if. But look what happened. Amen. But when I found that they were telling me the truth, when I searched it out in the Word of God, now I'm changed. God has done a work in my life. Those things I couldn't give up, I was able to give up through the power of God. And those lies I used to tell, I don't tell them anymore, because God took my lying tongue away. And those things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Thank God. And I hear them talk about, I love this church. Oh, how I love this church. I'm so thankful for this church. And sometimes I have a hard time finding anything in some of the testimonies except those words over and over as I make programs. And I get a testimony, and so many times the testimony starts off by several of you. I love this church. I really love this church. Oh, how I love this church. And don't stop saying it. I know what you're saying. You're saying something's happened here. Somebody held on. Somebody continued. Somebody was where they needed to be so that I could have hope. They weren't just standing around saying, you're okay, I'm okay. They weren't just saying, it's all right, you do it your way. God understands. He's loving and kind. They weren't just holding back the whole Word of God. But they were willing to tell me where I was going wrong. And if I hadn't had that happen to me, I would not be lost or have hope today. That's a big if. That's a big if. A big if. Paul said, talking about God, he wants to make known His riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. In you. The hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I heard my friend say this week, you know, the Bible teaches us to leave the foundations. Leave the foundations. And he talked about Acts 2:38. He said a lot of people he's known through the years have just stayed with the foundations. The foundations. He said the Bible tells us to leave those foundations and go on. You can't just live in the foundation. But see, what he says makes sense to those that want to hear it that way. It makes sense. Because they start, and he said, the foundation, that's where the milk was. Now it's time to get the meat. It's time to move on, away from the foundation. Sure, the foundation's there, but go on. There's other things for us other than the foundation. But let me ask you, is there anything greater than the foundation? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And God knoweth those that are His. In fact, He tells us when we go astray, if we mess up, if we don't get back to the foundation, we're not going to make it. The foundation is the high place in God. He talked about it just being a place you walk on, a place that's underneath. But things of God are not like they are with man. The foundation is the top of the temple. The foundation in the church is the highest place. He's got it all messed up because he messed up on his if. He messed up on the if. There was a time when that one little word, if it hadn't been something that was in the Word of God, maybe he'd have been all right. But the Word of God says, if you continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached. Now, when was this preached, I wonder? And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Let me tell you when it was preached to every creature under heaven. when Peter said, it's unto you, and it's to your children, and to all that are afar off, even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if Paul, whose name was Saul, had just looked up and said, I don't care who you are, Lord, I'm going to keep believing what I believe, we wouldn't have Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians. But when God dealt with Saul, who was on his way to persecute the Jesus name apostolics, and knocked him down, he looked up and he didn't see because he was blinded. But he heard a voice and it said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And God, that he didn't believe would say this, but he said it anyhow because it was true. God said, I'm Jesus. And God said, I'm Jesus. God said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he was killing people who believed that, just because they believed that God was Jesus. Because that's what they were preaching in those early days of the church. They were preaching that Jesus is God. They were preaching Jesus is the mighty God. Because the prophets had said so. The prophets had proclaimed the Messiah would be that which was mighty from the beginning. That which was wonderful and is wonderful and shall be wonderful. And his name would be called even Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And they were preaching Jesus Christ to be that which was very much alive. And that which had power over death, hell, and the grave. And that which was anointed to be the quick one. The one that would anoint you with that which is Holy Ghost power. So he would quicken you. He would give you power and give you life and cause you, if you would continue in what he has available to you, to be able to enjoy a good life in this world and go on victoriously. Going to church, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but just going on to church, going on, get together with the other people of God, fellowship with the saints of God. And if you continue in what you've been taught and what you've heard and what you've learned, and if you don't walk away from it and look away and be led astray by every wind of doctrine that may come your way, if you'll continue and not be removed from it, great will be your reward.
Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah. Great will be your reward.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, in Christ, all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge can be found. That's in verse 3 of chapter 2, Colossians. Amen. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Not in one of these things, what faith are you? Which faith are you? What church do you belong to? What religion are you? No, there is only one faith. There's one church. Which church is right? Of all these churches, which one is right? It's the one that God recognizes to be right. And it's not necessarily Baptist, Pentecostal, Apostolic. Those names don't mean anything to God as far as what the church is. It is God's blood-bought church through Jesus Christ, operating according to the will and the commandment of God. And if we do what God told us to do through His apostles, if we do those things, then we can say we are part of the only church that's right. Rooted and built up in Him, established in faith, the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after your tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him... Now, there had to be some knowledge back then that things were starting to go the wrong way. Things were starting to turn in a direction, and these people were going to die. And there would be some time coming when somebody would need to look back at the Scriptures and see what is necessary for us, that we should know, that we should contend for, that we should know that would make a difference if we would look at the Word of God again, that it would be there to tell us what we should do. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Don't let these traditions and teachings that people come up with rob you of the principles that are in the Word of God that have been established in God's truth. For in Him dwelleth, in who? We're talking about Jesus. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost dwells in Jesus bodily. Amen. So that settles where the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is. It's in Christ. He is in Christ. He the Father, He the Son, He the Holy Spirit. However you see God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, however you figure it out to be, no matter how many traditions you've heard taught, no matter how many people have handed down their ways of interpreting it to you, you got to come back to the Word. And if you'll come back to it, you'll find the teaching of the apostle saying that in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this is something that we should build on and not go after the tradition of men. And you're complete in Him, in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. If there are three persons in heaven, only one of them is the head of all principality and power. And His name is Jesus. And that makes Him God over the other two. So they ain't three persons. Because God is a spirit. But I know what they mean. I'm not here to fight anybody. I know a lot of innocent, sincere people, innocent in their own eyes, because they don't know any better. They can only see God as person number one, person number two, person number three, because that's what most religions teach. But God the Father is spirit. And Jesus Christ came as a manifestation of that invisible spirit to give us the power through the Holy Ghost to have Christ in us, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells, so that when we say hallelujah, we're talking to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But we don't have to find Him way out there or them out there. He is in us. Father in creation, Son in redemption, and Holy Ghost in our worship in the church. He is God. Hallelujah! Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is Father in you, Holy Ghost in you, the hope of glory. For in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. And if you get complete in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you bodily too. Amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You don't have to try to figure out who to pray for and where they are. He's there. Father's in heaven, Father's in earth, because He's everywhere. Everywhere. Amen. I won't be much longer. I'm full of preach because I got real angry last night listening to my friend, and I still call him my friend. I have a lot of friends that failed the if test. They didn't continue. If we continue, we can be saved. This doctrine says you can't be lost once you've been saved. Well, it has some truth to it, but we're not all saved until we get to the end. And if we don't continue, if we don't endure to the end, the same shall not be saved that mess up on the if. If you don't continue, you won't make it. I've seen a lot of houses that they started out to build them, but they didn't finish the job. And they're not fit to live in. Just a slab of concrete out there, and they ran out of money. Now, if they'd counted the cost, and if they'd have planned it right, and if they'd known where they were going and what they had to do it with, and hadn't just been guessing at it and had bad management in many cases, they would have built a house and they could have moved in. That's a big if. Praise God. Before you start to build a home for yourself, make sure you're able to build it all the way to the end. And when you want to get saved, make sure you get something in you that's true enough, strong enough, pure enough, real enough to take you all the way to heaven. Because if you don't continue, you won't make it. But if you will, you can. Praise God. When you close your eyes in death and say, you know, it's finished for me, I've had it, life's over, whether it be old age or sickness or an accident. When you close your eyes and it's over with and your life is ended, praise God. If you have lived a life that has been able to repent and grab the mercy of God, if you have lived a life that has been able to be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have continued, even if you've strayed many times, even if you've messed up, if you've done these things, if in the end you have done the most necessary things, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and if at any point God has ever filled you with His Holy Ghost, amen. You call on the name of the Lord before you die, and I guarantee you, I promise you, amen, that you will be once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. Because that's all it takes. One mention of the name of Jesus with a sincere heart, whether you're going to keep living or you're at your dying point. If you've done the foundational work as taught by Jesus and the apostles, grab a hold of Jesus again. And the best time to do it is that time when you know you're not going to be around anymore. You've been doing it, but make sure you do it one more time. Make sure. Call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, receive my spirit. Jesus, I want to live or die or be with you, however you want it. Not my will, but thine be done. Receive me into your glory world. And go out of here. You might even go out of here speaking in tongues. And that would be wonderful. My grandpa did that. He died speaking in tongues. Amen. He'd preach the gospel all over this country. Or down in the country that we knew of was all over the country. And he preached in street corners and out on creek banks and anywhere he could find anybody to listen to him. Even sometimes when nobody would listen to him, he preached anyhow. And he just preached what I'm preaching, this kind of stuff. And when he died, he was in the hospital room. They had just performed surgery on him. And the doctors had come into the room, you know, with their white garments on and were working with him as he came to from surgery just before he died. And he was speaking in tongues. And they thought something had gone wrong. He'd lost his mind. And the doctors were all worried and they were running back and forth trying to see what are we going to do. Here's this man that had been under sedation, this 80-something-year-old gentleman that was just lying there on that bed coming to from his operation speaking in another language. And once in a while, he'd stop and say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And he'd go back to speaking in tongues again. And this was, I mean, I'm talking about minutes before he died. This was going on. He was just speaking in tongues and just praising God. Now, I want to tell you, at a time like that, you don't fake it. When the doctor's already said, "I don't see much hope for you. You're 84 years old. You have this condition. It's terminal. There's not much we can do, but we can try this and we can open you up and we can maybe make a little comfort for you. We don't know." He knew he didn't have any time left, but he came to saying, "Hallelujah." And he's speaking in tongues. Give me that note, Brother Joe. Speaking in tongues. And he looked around and he saw all those doctors standing there and nurses in their white garments. And he said, "Hallelujah, it's resurrection morning." They were dressed in white robes, spotless and clean. And he was so sure he was already in heaven. His eyes were a little bit dim. He didn't really know where he was. But he was somewhere besides this world, speaking in a heavenly language, saying, "Hallelujah." And eyes filled with tears of joy, seeing something white, robed in white around him. He was thinking, "I've made it. Hallelujah. Oh, I made it." He was so confident because he didn't fail the pass. He didn't fail the test of the if. And then they came and got my daddy. Said, "Something's happened. Something's gone wrong. This man's gone crazy." And Dad walked in the room, and he saw what was happening. All these doctors and nurses didn't know what to do, and he's speaking in tongues and just praising the Lord. And Dad said, "He's all right." And my granddad stopped, and he looked over at my dad and said, "Junior, is that you?" He said, "I thought I was in heaven." Made my dad feel really good, you know. I mean, that's his son-in-law. He's looking at him and said, "Oh, I thought I was in heaven." And then he closed his eyes and died. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't usually preach people into heaven or hell. I can't. But I'm going to tell you something. If you die like that, if you die like that, there's a really good chance that you're going to be saved. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to close here in just a second. There's just so much good stuff here. And I'll try to make it just within 2 or 3 minutes. I said just a second. It's already grown to 3 minutes. Let's see what happens next. But I am through. Almost. Amen. Amen. Let me turn over here right quick to 2 Epistle of Timothy. You can stand and come around the front if you will, because we're going to close worshiping and praising God tonight. Amen. The second chapter of Timothy. Amen. 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 Study to show thyself approved. This is verse 15. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Amen. Some of these vain babblings are people preaching stuff that's just not right. Vain babblings. And their word will eat as doth a canker or a cancer, of whom, and there's this character named Hymenaeus and Philetus. They've departed and they've been eaten by this canker, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. You know, so evidently it's pretty important that we get it right when it comes to the teachings of the Lord. Even teaching about the resurrection and teaching about the things concerning God's power and ability to make a difference with life and death. Evidently it's very important that we get it right, because it was important in the Word of God enough that it made its way to the New Testament. And because they were saying that the resurrection has already passed, because of that, they were referred to as being those who have erred and departed from the faith, and have caused others to do the same. But verse 19, he goes on and says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ," everybody say the name of Christ, "let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some of honor, some of dishonor, some to dishonor. But if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Amen. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives." That's why sometimes we just don't even bother to try to answer some of the questions. Why get in a big heated argument over, "What do you believe about this? What do you believe about that?" In fact, when I go to a church and I hear a preacher get up and say, "Let me tell you what I believe," I don't want to listen to what you believe. I want to know what God says. And it's good that you believe it, because if you don't believe it, you're going to split hell wide open. I don't care what you believe. Hallelujah. All I care about is that we believe. Praise the name of Jesus. Brother Bill, as we pray, Brother Bill in Kentucky, very ill, needs our prayers tonight. Let's pray that God would not only heal him, but also reveal more of this precious truth to him. Hallelujah. Let us praise the Lord. Amen. God, we thank you tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We love you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you for your wonderful works. Praise you for your wonderful truth. Praise you for your holiness, for your way of righteousness. Lord, I ask you, God, to touch Brother Bill, amen, who has preached to many and who has done great things in the Word of God and has been blessed in so many ways. I pray, God, that not only you would heal him, but you would bring him into more truth and cause him to proclaim this truth that we're talking about tonight in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For there is no other way. There is no other way. And Lord, if he's going to die, make Lord, some way, reveal to him your word. Make sure, Lord, he dies in the faith. And if he's going to live, make sure he finds the faith before he dies in Jesus' name. If it be your will.
And somebody out there may be critical and say, you saying Brother Bill's lost? I'm saying Brother Bill's sick, needs our prayers. Amen. And there's a truth that he's heard over and over. And you don't hear this and go around not being able to. You don't just shake it off. Once you heard it like he's heard it, you're accountable for what you've heard. You're accountable in a way that you got to obey it. Or you got problems. It's if you obey it, you can baptize entire church congregations in Jesus' name. I was also blessed last night. You know, I'm not real heavy duty fan of lady preachers. You may not know that. I'm nothing against women. I love women. You may not know that either, but I just love women. I think women are wonderful. I know, but I just love all the women. And men too. I love everybody. I have nothing against women, but I've had so many experiences with lady ministers kicking up their legs and preaching like a man that turned me off. And so I'm not up here to put down lady preachers, but I've had a hard time ever listening to them. Not because I disrespect them, it's just somehow I just enjoy hearing a man when he preaches. And I'm not one of these radicals that gets off here and blasts lady preachers and say you're going to hell if you're a woman and preaching. I mean, if that's the truth, there's some people that prophesied in the Word of God and some people that brought the Word of God to others. I mean, there's some ladies that God cares about, even in the Word of God. So I'm not knocking ladies in any way. But last night, I turned on a tape that somebody sent me in the mail in a package of messages yesterday. And I heard this woman preaching. And I sat in my chair and I wept. Sister Nona Freeman spent many years in Africa. She and her husband went there. And she's 86 years old and still out there preaching. And it's not one of these usurping authority over men type thing. It's just a humble lady just trying to do what she can to touch a heart. Just touch a heart with the glorious gospel of Jesus. And she touched mine. She touched mine. Don't have the whole message, just enough of it to make me weep and realize, praise God, God can use people, whether they be young, old, male or female, to cause you to wake up and say, if I can just consecrate myself a little more, if I can just turn to God a little bit more fervently, I know I'm going to be all right. She did that for me last night. Thank God for Sister Friedman. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let's praise the Lord again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to mention her because she was preaching along with her husband and winning souls along with her husband just before they went on the mission field. Offer after offer, good intention offers from ministers. People, her own grandmother gave her hundreds of acres of very valuable property, including rent houses and all kinds of money. and tried to give it to her just before she went to Africa, and persuading her to go on to the lawyer and let's draw up the papers. I'm giving this all to you. And she said, but Grandma, what is the if involved? Because I know you, Grandma. What do I have to do in order to get all this money? And she said, promise me you'll never leave the United States. And she said, stop right here. God's taking me somewhere. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, there are thousands of African Holy Ghost filled, Jesus' name. In fact, there are millions of them in Africa today with this truth. That she was very much instrumental, she and her husband, instrumental in bringing this glorious gospel to the continent of Africa. And before they left, a preacher friend said, I have something I want to give you. I want to give you half of my business. And he had this tremendous business where a lot of property, choice properties, where houses would be sold and lands would be sold. And just by being involved in it, Brother Friedman would get half of all the money that comes in to support him while he's in Africa. And Brother Friedman said, well, I'll just have to pray about it. And he was amazed. Pray about that? This is a blessing from God. And Brother Friedman came back and he said, I'm going to have to say no. I've heard from God. Because for me to do that, my brother, he said, I'm going to have to commit myself to staying here and working for that money. And God has sent me for some souls. Brother and Sister Friedman went to Africa. When they got to that continent, they didn't know anybody and they didn't have a cent to their name and had no way to be able to make it. And said everybody were looking at them suspiciously, wondering what these white Americans were up to. And God took them from there to a continuation of test after test after test after test. If you'll go this way, if you'll go that way, if you'll do this, if you do that. And they stayed, continued in the faith. And today she, I don't know if he's alive anymore, but she is going around being camp meeting speaker, 86 years old. Just saying, I still love him. And she talks in such a way. You just want to give everything you've got away and go to Africa. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. If you all will keep going to this church and doing what you're doing, we're going to see God do a mighty work in a lot of people's lives. If you will.